Standard Version. Some of you may be more familiar with the King James Version of Psalm 23 especially. Both are meaningful, both are dear, and both convey to us the Word of God. Listen now for God's Word to us in this reading of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's listen now for God's word to us as it comes to us in the reading of the New Testament lesson taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Jesus speaking to those who follow him, but also speaking to the religious leaders about his work as the good shepherd of the Lord's people. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep. They are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This charge I have received from my Father." May God add his blessings to these readings from God's holy word. Again, let us bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For these prayers we make in Jesus' name. Amen. Both Psalm 23 and John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, speak to us of God's commitment, God's covenant promise made to each and every one of us to care for us throughout all of life, through all of life's ups and downs. And so both Bible readings for this morning call us to make a faithful response to God, and that faithful response would be trust. It would be faith. Faith in God throughout all of life, throughout all of life's vicissitudes. When a young couple, or for that matter, when an older couple comes to me seeking to get married, I first meet with them, talk about marriage, and talk about some of its related issues. And one of the biggest issues I can talk about with them is the issue of commitment and trust. And I ask a question of that young couple. Of course, I realize they're willing to tell me anything that I might want to hear just in order to get me to say, yes, I'll do your wedding service. But I ask the question nevertheless because I want to plant a seed in their mind. And the question is, are you willing to trust this other person with your life in a life and death decision, if it should ever come to that? Are you willing to trust this other person with your life? Because when we marry one another, the lover to the beloved, we promise to be with one another throughout all of life, every moment of life, the good times and the bad, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. And it does, on occasion, happen that one of us in the marriage relationship might be incapacitated. We can't make a decision for ourselves. And at that moment, it's absolutely important that your trust has been placed in the right person. Now, that's an awesome thought to ponder. It's an awesome thing, a humbling thing to consider. The reality that two human beings can love one another so much that each of them, as the lover and the beloved, will be there and will care for one another throughout every aspect of their journey through this life together. Now, this depth of caring, as experienced in this human relationship called marriage, provides for me, at any rate, a window into the depth of caring that God expresses for the Lord's people in Psalm 23, and that God expresses through the person and work of Jesus Christ, especially as it's told in the Gospel according to John chapter 10. The good news of our Bible lessons for today is that God cares. God cares for the Lord's people, and I believe that God cares for all people, to a depth that transcends even the best of marriages and the greatest of friendships. Each of our Bible lessons for today speak of God's unconditional love for us by using this very common, very familiar imagery from the ancient world, the image of the shepherd, the good shepherd. In the era of the psalmist, and in Jesus' own day, everybody knew who a shepherd was. Everybody knew what a shepherd did. Not so much in our day and time. So let me tell you a few things about a shepherd that can be learned from the Psalms or the story of David. First of all, the shepherd did more than just herd sheep. They took care of the sheep. They defended the sheep. And the shepherds would use something very simple like a sling. Have you ever used, not a slingshot like the little forked stick I used to play with, but it's two straps of leather with a pouch in the middle. They put a rock in it. They swing it around. And the physicist would have to tell you at what point you need to release it so that the projectile goes off on a tangent to the curve. I can't tell you that. But a shepherd can demonstrate it. And when they release that rock, it leaves at a mighty force. And it might knock out the bears, the lions, the wolves that would threaten their sheep. Now, to say the least, shepherds were a brave and resourceful people. Who among us would be willing to arm ourselves with such a simple weapon to go up against lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my. I hope you caught the reference to the Wizard of Oz right there. Not only were shepherds resourceful and brave, shepherds worked. Shepherds worked like Trojans to take care of and provide for their sheep. A shepherd would go before his sheep into a new grazing area to rid the field of venomous snakes, poisonous plants, even dangerous holes where the sheep might unwittingly step and break a leg. What comes to my mind are images of a loving mother or father who prepares the way through life for their children. Moms and dads constantly are feeding and nursing and protecting them from harm and guiding their little ones until that day comes, that we hope that day comes, when their little ones will be fully functioning, independent, healthy adults who can take care of themselves and, if the Lord so blesses them, have little ones of their own and raise them up and so on and so forth from one generation to the next. All of these images of shepherding and leading and parenting and helping and taking care of can come to mind when we read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Think of the care and love and depth of compassion that is expressed in those words by the Almighty God for you and for me and for every human being that has ever lived or will ever live. God is our good shepherd who protects and defends us. This I firmly believe, the church firmly believes. Now, does that mean that God will spare us from all harm or every bad thing? No. No more than a loving parent can guarantee that they will spare their children from every harm. Life happens. For life is such that we human beings grow up intellectually, spiritually, physically, by meeting the various challenges of life and coping with them. A good parent will equip their children to meet the great tests of life. God is the same. He equips us with the skills, the wisdom, the strength, the faith that we will need to confront life in all of its vicissitudes, all of its ups and downs. God's benevolent care for us is revealed in the provision of our daily bread. Regardless of how much human effort might go into raising the food and caring for the crops and harvesting the crops, it all comes from God's gift to us of a world that is benevolent and kindly toward us, from soil that will be productive and bring forth what we call life. It is God and God alone who gives us life, who takes care of us, who feeds us, we can say. We are the objects of God's limitless love. And God has given us this gift of life that we might have life and have it abundantly. Therefore, I believe that we can at the very least confess that God is our good shepherd. In the presence of our enemies, in the presence of a world that is oftentimes hostile toward us, God takes care of us. He anoints our head with oil, a sign of God's healing and compassion. He fills our cup to overflowing, a sign of God's great care for us, not only in terms of thirst experienced by the physical body, but thirst for the living water, who is the Christ. In him we find our nourishment. In him we find our life. God is the good shepherd. According to Psalm 23, this infinitely caring God elicits a particular response from us, from the faithful. It is the response of worship. The tradition has it that King David wrote Psalm 23, and he concludes that marvelous psalm by saying very simply, "And I will dwell forever in the house of the Lord." And yet we know that we can worship God wherever we may be. We are experiencing that right now as we worship physically distanced from one another. Nevertheless, we can still be in church. We can still be in the temple worshiping our God. Life itself can become an expression of worship. In the workplace, I can be the means of God's grace to those around me. I can still obey the Ten Commandments. I can still obey the Great Commandment. In the home place, when I talk to my children or my grandchildren, when I talk to my wife, when you talk to your wife or husband, we can still demonstrate that we are worshiping God in that moment. To live life as a person of faith is to worship God. All of life can be the occasion of worshiping our God. That is God's calling to us to express our gratitude wherever we may be in the form of worship and service.
Our New Testament lesson also uses the thought world of the ancient Near East to reveal to the church greater insight into the person and work of Jesus of Nazareth. Our faith as Christians tells us that in Jesus we encounter God fully, and we confess that in Jesus God has revealed God's very self to the world. In fact, in Jesus Christ we meet God. As much as a human life can embody the presence of God, Jesus embodies God for us. So it's only natural that Jesus should see himself also in terms of the Good Shepherd and see the world from the perspective of the Good Shepherd. Jesus first tells us of himself, "I am the gate to the sheepfold." Now the scholars who've studied the ancient world of the Bible remind us modern folks that a sheepfold is a very simple rock wall built in a circle, maybe a rectangle, with only one gap left in the wall so that the sheep could come and go to find safety at night and pasture and water during the day. The sheep would enter the fold for the night so that they might be protected from predatory animals as they slept. And once they entered the sheepfold and were safe and sound, then the shepherd would crouch down in the gap or the gateway, and he himself would become the gate, a human gate. No wild animal could enter through the gap in the wall without disturbing the shepherd, the human gate, and no sheep could escape the safety of the sheepfold without disturbing the shepherd, the human gate. Of course, the sheep find their safety at night and rest at night in the sheepfold, but they cannot remain in the sheepfold around the clock day after day. They simply must leave the sheepfold during the day so that they can graze in the green pastures that the shepherd has provided for them and quench their thirst in the still waters to which the shepherd has led them. In the same way, we, the Lord's people, the Good Shepherd's sheep, if you will, can find access to God through Jesus Christ, who is the gate to the sheepfold, and through the church, which I guess is analogous in some way to the sheepfold. The church can be that nurturing place of safety where we can learn about God and God's care for us, where we can find our rest in God. However, just as the sheep cannot remain sequestered in the sheepfold around the clock, so must we, the Lord's people, leave the safety and nurture of the church's walls, if you will, metaphorically speaking, so that we might go out into the world not only for our practical needs to secure food, shelter, and clothing, but that we might fulfill God's calling to us to serve God by loving our neighbor, by being the means of God's grace to the world that hungers and that thirsts, that we might be the means of God's grace to a world that is often lost, like sheep without a shepherd, that we might be the means of God's grace to a world that often injures itself by fights and feuds and even wars, that we might be the means of God's grace to a world that needs to hear proclaimed the good news that God so loved the world that God gave the world God's only Son. Now, all of this sounds like it can be difficult and even dangerous work, and it is. Not everyone wants to hear the good news. At the same time, Jesus, our Good Shepherd, promises to be with us and for us always, even if we should walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the Good Shepherd who is with us and for us always. He will be there to guide us. He will be there to give us rest. He will be there to anoint our head with oil. He will be there to extend to us a cup of cool water. He will always be the Good Shepherd to us. It is no accident, then, that when the church stands at the side of the grave to bury its dead, that we often read the Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm's assurance that God will always be with us and for us, even as we pass through the valley of death, empowers the church to say at the side of the grave that which no one else can say or will say, that death has not spoken the final word here. Rather, God in Jesus Christ has spoken the final word, the word of our great hope in the resurrection of the Lord from death into the life eternal. So friends, by God's grace, may we embrace the good news of God in Jesus Christ, that God cares infinitely about each and every one of us, that in Jesus Christ, God is always with us and for us, that God in Christ is our good shepherd, who will guide us faithfully through this life in all of its vicissitudes, all of its ups and downs. He will see us safely into the fold of God's eternal kingdom, where we shall be free at last from every trouble, every trial, and every fear. God in Christ is our good shepherd. There is no greater word of comfort or assurance for us during this strange and dangerous time of pandemics and terrorism and unmitigated greed than the good news proclaimed in our Bible lessons for today, the 23rd Psalm and John chapter 10. God in Christ is our good shepherd. May we go now in God's grace in Jesus Christ and live the life of faith, a life that will walk with our Lord Jesus unafraid and unbowed, even if we should walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We need fear no evil, for Christ is always with us. Amen. Let's stand and wherever we may be and say together the Apostles' Creed as an expression of our confession of faith.